This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tabanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker.
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next, whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the vivacious, the bubbly, most popular man to McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, you feeling vivacious?
Well,
you feeling bubbly?
I'm winding down. We were on such an emotional high I think we were just both on fumes and adrenaline last weekend because, man, it just does not get any better than the state tournament. Had a little Olive Garden on Saturday.
You guys should have seen Steve Sell at the Olive Garden. It was almost like he settled in for his last meal of his life.
I felt like I was back in Ringo, Kansas, out at the farm where my grandma used to make ravioli.
Giovanna Domenica Tabanero.
Giovanna Domenica Tabanero, yes. And, for people that have not listened to the show, we didn't have your standard Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner at my grandma's house.
They had ravioli.
We had ravioli or lasagna, you know, with hot homemade rolls, you know, stuff like that. So,
for people that aren't aware, Steve probably eats about 6 lasagnas a week, maybe more. Would you say more or less?
Oh, less. I only have like 2 a week.
With a big glass of milk.
With a big glass of milk. But I also have a ravioli in there and some spaghetti in there. You know, some spaghetti.
All right, let me rephrase that. Steve probably has about 8 Stouffer's meals a week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Steve is a big fan. And when we got to the Olive Garden, I mean, he's sitting around looking and feeling like a fancy man.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, whenever we go out to eat, especially in bigger places, he feels a little bit small.
Claustrophobic.
And he feels like those walls are caving in on him, where he's looking around and going, God, we're here at the Olive Garden. It's so fancy. We got Kentucky and Alabama playing on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
We got so lucky to have that. The guy comes out and he says, would you guys like to try some sangria? And Steve and I are just like, man.
We're on the clock.
We're not drinking any sangria. It's state championship Saturday. Yeah. We've got to get pumped up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still winding down a little bit, too, and earlier today, I was going through some game tape and cutting that up and making sure that if anybody wants it, we have commercials out of it and everything. I've got all 48 games on tape, and I was going to make the announcement today. If for some reason anybody would like the final games, whether it's the boys or the girls, any game this year, if you'd like it, shoot me an email, and we can get the tape into your hand.
Yeah.
We can put it on a CD. We can put it on a flash drive.
I think you need to edit the part out where I said, oh, that's the dagger.
That's the best part, though, to me. And there might be some people that sit out there and go, oh, Steve Sell strikes again.
Give up, boy.
Fearless forecaster.
Yeah.
He gives up on him.
Yeah, quitter. Yeah.
But to me, that is what makes the comeback and everything about the state championship for the girls from Saturday so exciting.
Yeah.
And so fun. Because the game was over.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
And I think that if you were out in Vegas and sitting next to the wise guys and they're keeping a line on the game, when it gets to 9 points with 2:30 to go, the odds of the girls winning are about 5,000 to 1.
Oh.
And I think they would have jumped that line way up high.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that we sat there and went, Steve sat there and went, well, that's probably about it.
Yeah, that's one thing. You never pronounce it over. And Coach Kinnaman always gives me a hard time. If we're watching KU and there's 10 minutes to go and they're down 14, I pronounce it over.
Steve gives up quickly.
I give it, well, on the team. You know, it's the teams I, you know, really care about, though, and which seems odd to say, but it's just because, you know, I want them to do so well that it's just aggravating. You don't want to watch a KU game with me, that's for sure, because I'm not a lot of fun to be around because I'm very critical.
Especially if things are starting to go rough.
Yeah, I'm very critical of KU, like, God, LeGerald Vick, why is he even out there? You know, he's a chopper. Get him out of there, you know. Why is Silvio De Sosa in there? Of course,
he's been looking pretty good.
He turned around his season in the Big 12 tournament. Anyway, high school basketball, now we're going to get down to the All-State teams. We had the All-League teams I posted over the weekend. All-State teams will come out, at least the Big Two is what, you know, Topeka, Wichita. Those are generally regarded as the Big Two. Of course, KBC has there, and then there's other websites that have them. But to me, the Eagle and the Capitol are the ones.
Should start doing one,
and they
Steve.
come out on Sunday. And
I think we should do an All-State team.
Well, I don't know the state quite like I think they do. But anyway, I know today we do know we're going to have an All-State All-Class. I know one All-State All-Class we're going to have because they have the show or the banquet today up in Emporia. Wichita and Topeka get together and they meet in Emporia and they have a banquet. So I know that I know we got at least one. I'm guessing two, pretty much for sure.
I'm thinking two as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have one boy and one girl. So draw your own conclusions from that without, you know, trying to overstate our expertise in that. But we're also getting some All-League teams. I had, like I said, the McPherson All-League team was posted. I had the Central Kansas League team. Smokey and Heston did really well on those. And Vance Unrell, the Vancer, down in Dridger Nation. Just sent us the Heart of America team. As soon as we get done with the broadcast, I'll post that this afternoon. We still need that Wheat State League team. That's with Canton, Galva, Elyria, Little River. I will I'll hit my man Greg Fields up because I know he's really good on getting stuff like that. So we'll get all the All-League teams up and post those. And, you know, I'm already – now, I know you're still in basketball mode. High school basketball.
I'm still winding down.
But I've had to turn my attention to spring sports because the Mid-Kansas Sports Magazine, I'm in the process of doing that. And call the station if you'd like to advertise in that. We've always got plenty of room in the magazine, and it'll be the usual magazine with area previews, all the McPherson High teams. Now, a couple of the McPherson teams will already have started when the magazine comes out because we got a soccer game on Thursday.
Which seems crazy.
Because
especially for like Riley Hett and Hannah Hagen.
Yeah, they just got done Saturday playing basketball.
They haven't kicked a soccer ball in 4 months.
Yeah, they actually they haven't. They've been practicing. The soccer team's been practicing since like the 23rd of February. So without a lot of the girls that play on the different teams, like I know Maggie Leaf, Cassie Cook are swimmers. Like you said, Hannah and Riley, soccer players. I know we've got other girls. I'm just doing it off the top of my head. But spring sports is just around the corner. Maybe it's at, it's supposed to be about 70, I think, by Thursday. And you know what that means for me?
Turkey Creek.
Sun therapy.
Steve's going to be playing a lot of golf.
I'm big on sun therapy. And then, of course, it's spring break at the high school next week. And they actually get out, I believe, on Thursday. Spring break starts Thursday for the kids. I don't know if the teachers go Thursday and Friday, but I do know everybody's out next week. That's why I got to get everything wrapped up this week.
So we have some NCAA tournament stuff to talk about later on today because we didn't get to talk about it at all yesterday. We were too busy celebrating and recapping everything that happened with the state championship games on Saturday. I want to talk now about some moves that have been happening in the NFL today. We haven't really been able to look at anything besides high school basketball
for
2 weeks. And today is the day of free agency where the new season of the NFL begins.
And there are
tons of moves going on.
And the Chiefs are in the middle of it.
The Chiefs, officially today, they traded Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins. So officially today, Alex Smith is no longer
a
Kansas City Chief.
It's the Patrick Mahomes era now.
And he wrote a really nice piece on the Players Tribune. You familiar with that, Steve?
Yes, I am.
He wrote a nice piece on there thanking Kansas City, and he was talking about how before he got to Kansas City, he had lived on the West Coast his entire life. I think he grew up in San Diego,
then went to Utah
and Salt Lake City, then went back to the Bay Area. And so when he got to Kansas City in 2013, he had never even been to the Midwest, let alone lived there. And he was talking about how passionate the Chiefs fans were, and I don't know how much of it was fluff or whether he was really ready to get out of here and people stopped calling him a game manager. But I think he's excited about his opportunities in Washington.
And I think he is the most underappreciated Chief in Kansas City history.
I think he's for sure the second-best quarterback in Chiefs history. And if you were comparing him stats-wise to Len Dawson and comparing their skills, I think he would be the best.
Yeah.
Joe Montana would probably be the best person to ever play quarterback for the Chiefs.
Yeah, but he was only there 2 years.
Right. And so, I mean, Alex Smith is up there for one of the best Chiefs ever. And it's hard to remember, too, because the Chiefs have had so much success over the last 5 years that
they were bad before he got there.
They weren't just bad. They were a disaster. Yeah. They were a train wreck.
Oh, Romeo Crennel, Todd Haley.
They were a train wreck. They were 2-14 in 2012. And so to go from that and to seamlessly transferring into Andy Reid and Alex Smith, winning the division, then missing the playoffs, then making it, I think, as a wild card team, winning the division 2 straight years. I mean, this was, I guess they didn't win the division in 2013, but they were
Kansas
a wild
City
card
fans,
team.
Hey, wasn't it fun to go to the playoffs?
It was really fun.
Yeah, yeah, so quit complaining, you know. How, you know, just because he didn't get them to the Super Bowl, he brought them a lot of thrills, and, you know, they were in the postseason pretty much regularly when Alex Smith was a quarterback.
Well, speaking of thrills, the Chiefs made a big move today.
Okay.
And I haven't got the final numbers yet, but these are the numbers that were reported earlier. Sammy Watkins, wide receiver. He will be coming to the Chiefs, reportedly $48 million,
Woo!
3 years, $30 million guaranteed.
If he's healthy, that's a big pickup.
That's the key.
He cannot stay healthy. I just wonder if the guy just doesn't keep himself in shape, but he is a legitimate, when healthy, a legitimate number one receiver.
And that's the thing that I like about this move. And there have been some moves that have really confused me with what the Chiefs have been doing over this past offseason. The Marcus Peters trade, a couple of other moves. With Sammy Watkins, there are times that you have to spend money. There are times that you have to go all in. And this
Sometimes
is one of those
moments.
Sometimes
you have moments. To overpay.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Because, and the other key to this I'll mention in a moment. Some of the years the Chiefs have had some big-time number ones, number twos, but weren't really number ones or number twos compared to the rest of the league. But now when you look at those Chiefs' weapons, number one, Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest players in the NFL, debatably the fastest player.
Oh, I don't lose any question.
Number two, Travis Kelce, one of the best, in my opinion, the best tight end.
And he's in his prime.
In the NFL, right in the middle of his prime.
Right.
Number three, a rookie running back in Kareem Hunt that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, a rookie quarterback will be a second-year quarterback next year in Patrick Mahomes that can absolutely sling the ball around the field. Number five, you get a legitimate number one wide receiver. He would be a number one or number two on every single team in the NFL, and Sammy Watkins, that is a dynamic offense.
Well, and then you have to remember, Spencer Ware comes back.
Sharkhandrick West
comes back. Chris Conley comes back.
They will lose Albert Wilson. He's going to sign with the Dolphins. But there are years and there are times where you have to put an emphasis and you have to go make moves to better your team.
Right.
And with Patrick Mahomes, you have to give him every single chance to succeed. And that's what we talked about all fall.
Around him,
yeah. You have to get people around him that are great. You have to give him every single chance to succeed. And adding a dynamic wide receiver like Sammy Watkins, that gives him many more chances to succeed, especially early on in his career. And I love, love this move that the Chiefs made.
If he stays healthy, I mean,
that's the big key.
He's huge. I mean, he's a big, strong, fast. He's got the good look with the dreads going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's an intimidating-looking guy. And, again, he has not stayed healthy, I don't think, one single year. So the Chiefs have really got to work on keeping him healthy. But I think it's a great move if he's healthy because, for one thing, you need big receivers. That's what, you know, when you got Tyreek Hill, as good as he is, he's small.
He's about Steve's size.
Albert Wilson, not a big receiver.
A little bigger than Steve.
Now, Chris Conley.
That's a big dude.
Yeah, that's a big dude. So you get Chris Conley on the outside at one receiver. You get Sammy Watkins on the other side and then slot in Tyreek the Streak. I mean, My gosh.
That's a pretty
Kareem
good
Hunt,
backfield.
And now Kareem Hunt won't have to worry about getting worn down because you got Spencer Ware. I'm not sure if Sharkhandrick West will end up
I don't know which of those two will be back.
Well, Spencer Ware's got a deal, so I think he's got to be back. I think Sharkhandrick is maybe on, you know, year to year. But Spencer Ware's that muscular power back, and, you know, man, they're going to – what a 1-2 punch that's going to be. So, you know, if they can just maybe pick up a free agent offensive lineman or a free agent lineman or a lineman in the draft, but then they got to go to work. I think every pick but maybe one will be for defense because that defense has been totally taken apart because the Chiefs also got rid of Tamba Hali, Ron Parker, and
Derek Johnson
Marcus already. Marcus Peters. And, you know, I think they haven't re-signed Benny Logan. You know, the only defensive lineman really of note is Chris Jones.
Right.
We don't know who they'll have.
Or so, Passanio.
Yeah.
The crazy name.
Yeah, the guy from Villanova or Temple.
I think Villanova.
One of the big five from the, you know.
From Philly.
So, you know, he's a Philly guy, so he's got to be a bad dude. But, you know.
Bad in the good way.
Problem is you still got the Philip Gaines and Steven Nelsons and Terrence Mitchells of the world. The guys that.
Eric,
you know,
Murray.
They're like three pieces of toast, you know, just getting burned all the time.
The other big move that happened late in the night last night is that John Elway, the quarterback guru, the quarterback whisperer, made a big move.
Okay.
And they signed Case Keenum to the Denver Broncos. Okay. So they were anticipating
he would sign
with Denver.
I thought Kirk Cousins was
going to
be
He's going
guy.
To Minnesota.
Okay. See, I was
You've been out of it today.
I was so wrapped up in basketball and spring sports. I have not even paid any attention.
Kirk Cousins to Minnesota, 3 years, $84 million.
Okay.
I haven't seen the final numbers on Case Keenum, but if there was a free agent quarterback that the Chiefs wanted to go to Denver, it's Case Keenum.
Yeah, they didn't want Kirk Cousins. That's right.
I did not want him going to Denver, being a Chiefs fan. So now, the Denver quarterback situation, oh boy, is it good.
Yeah.
Loaded. The best quarterback situation in the NFL. Case Keenum. Brock Lobster Osweiler. You've got Trevor Siemian. You've got Paxton Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
The Denver Broncos. Oh, boy. And the quarterback whisperer, John Elway.
The fearsomeless foursome. Yeah.
Man, they're going to be good.
Now, Case Keenum did get Minnesota close to the Super Bowl.
But I think.
But look at his track record.
Exactly.
He got hot for 10 games. I mean, Nick Foles got hot for 10 games, and he probably won't even get on the field after about week three next year.
So, NFL, it's been making all sorts of headlines today. We'll go over some more of it tomorrow, depending on what else happens and depending on what the Chiefs do. But coming up after the break, it's March Madness, officially. Selection Sunday was on Sunday. We've got to talk about the weird show that TBS put on, as well as the games coming up for KU, K-State, and Wichita State. All back in the tournament for the same year. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. It is officially March Madness time. Selection Sunday happened. There's first four games going on tonight in Dayton, Ohio, and the NCAA tournament is back. Steve, I am as big of a sports fan as there is. Baseball, football, I like the NBA postseason. But there's nothing better. There's nothing better than the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament.
My mother, God rest her soul, I mean, just stay away from her in those 3 weeks. She was a college basketball junkie. And my dad just went to the back room where we had a little, like a 16-inch, 19-inch black and white TV. We had like a 32-inch color TV out in the family room. Dad just knew, I'm going back to the little black and white TV because mom was going to watch college basketball with me. And we just, you know, we always watched it. Now, you have to remember, the first college basketball game I remember watching was JoJo White stepping out of bounds.
66.
66, Texas El Paso. That was the first Final Four that I watched, and I watched that Texas El Paso-Kentucky championship game.
Oh, yeah.
Pat Riley for Kentucky.
Pat Riley.
Louis Dampier, you know, and then I know all seven of those Texas Western guys because they had – that's where I got introduced
Big Daddy.
I got introduced to some of the greatest names in sports. Harry Flournoy, Orston Artis, Big Daddy David Latin, Willie Cager, Willie Worsley, Bobby Joe Hill. I love that Texas Western team. And also, that team changed college basketball forever. It really did. It was the first time, you know, that five African-American players started in a NCAA championship game, and it turned college basketball, and it has become, to me, I like the Final Four and the NCAA tournament better than any baseball playoffs, and I'm a baseball guy, better than the NFL playoffs. There is no comparison. When you get that one shining moment on Monday night.
One shining moment.
I mean, every time I hear one shining moment, I get goosebumps.
You get a tear in your eye.
And I got, and it's just like I got goosebumps when you played back when Riley Hett hit that three-pointer. I mean, the hair on my arm.
Start thinking about it now.
Oh,
yeah. Get excited.
It makes the hair on your arm stand up. Riley Hett, that'll be a three-pointer that will live in infamy.
So the NCAA tournament, it technically starts tonight with the first four games going on in Dayton, Ohio, which I love the first four. LIU Brooklyn taking on Radford at 5:40. And then the Bonnies of St. Bonaventure taking on UCLA. That'll be at 8:10. True TV, which is Steve Sell's favorite channel.
I got it.
And then tomorrow night, Texas Southern takes on North Carolina Central.
Didn't KU play Texas Southern this year?
I think they did, yeah. And then Syracuse will take on Arizona State.
And that's a marquee matchup.
Yeah.
That's two, you know, programs with a pretty good tradition. Can't beat that 2-3 zone that Boeheim's going to throw up there. So
Jimmy Boeheim.
Yep.
Also the two teams that everybody didn't believe should have gotten in after
and we
Arizona
all know
State
that
finished
Oklahoma,
ninth in the Pac-12.
Oklahoma State, how did they not get in? You know, I don't agree with Dick Vitale very often, but he was ballistic.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oklahoma State. For one thing, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma twice. You know, Oklahoma State beat KU twice. Oklahoma State beat West Virginia. You know, they had six quality big-time wins. OU beat KU once.
I don't think Oklahoma had six wins in the second half of the season.
If you take Trae Young, say Trae Young was just, you know, somebody else in there, you know.
Jim Joyner.
Yeah. They don't make it. They don't. It's the Trae Young factor.
If Jim Joyner scoring 20 points
that's,
a game.
That is the only reason Oklahoma got in is because Trae Young gives them a puncher's chance in every game.
And they play the first game of the tournament.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if they win.
And it wouldn't surprise me either if they played Duke and beat them.
No, because I got Duke in my Final Four.
It wouldn't surprise me if OU went on a run, but it wouldn't surprise me if they came out played Rhode Island and got blown out by 30.
Yeah, they're going to get – they're going to – I think they win their first one and then get beat.
So as we look to everything that's going on, for especially the local teams and the local fans, KU, K-State, Wichita State all made it. KU is in the Midwest bracket. They will take on Mighty Mighty Penn at 1 p.m. on Thursday, and that game will be down in Wichita. K-State is the 9 seed in the South bracket, and the Wildcats will play at 5:50. They will take on 8-seeded Creighton and former Wildcat Marcus Foster.
You don't think he's going to be motivated? I think that's a game, though, if Dean Wade is anywhere near healthy, I think K-State wins that game.
I hope that he's able to play because I think K-State's the better team.
Yeah.
Creighton is not the standard Creighton this year.
They're not when they had Dougie McDermott or whoever.
Dougie McBuckets.
Yeah, Dougie McBuckets.
And then Wichita State's going to be a 4 seed in the East. They will play at 12:30 on Friday. Greg Marshall against Marshall, the Thundering Herd. And the winner of that will play West Virginia or Murray State. And so if Wichita State plays West Virginia,
I'm nervous.
That's a good game.
I'm nervous about that. You know, Wichita State, to me, the last month of the season just did not look like the same team of the first, 3 months of the season.
Yeah.
They
went from one of the best defensive teams to giving up 85 points a lot.
Yeah, their defense. And, you know, Shaq Morris is really not what you'd call a rim protector. You know,
he's a big guy, but what is he, 6'9"?
He's 6'7 and a half maybe. You know, and he likes to shoot threes. It's almost like he's allergic to the, you know. But I think they're all allergic on the defensive end. And The thing is, Greg Marshall changes starting lineup so much. You know, there for a while, Zach Brown was starting, then he didn't start. You had Kelly starting, and, you know, Darryl Willis started for a while. Austin Reeves was really hot. He's back on the bench. It's almost like you had McDuffie starting off and on. I mean, the only guys that were really constants were Shamet and Shaq. Those were
big. Connor Frankamp.
But, you know, Austin Reeves started for several games in place of Frankamp. And then you had Kelly and Zach Brown kind of – and, you know, Darryl Willis, he's the black hole. The ball goes in there, you never see it again. The guy averages more shots per minute maybe anybody in the NCAA tournament. I'm nervous about the Shockers. And, you know, earlier in the year, I thought they could make the Elite Eight. I really did early on. But I don't feel that way now. I didn't think they looked very good in the tournament. You know, it's really weird. You know, they get second place – in that conference, the new conference,
the
area.
American Athletic,
they ran
conference.
Away with the Missouri. You know, they won the Missouri Valley or whatever, and won the tournament, and they got what last year, like a 7 seed or 8 seed,
yeah, somewhere around.
And
there.
Now they, you know, finish second. They get a 4 seed. You know, so it just shows.
Maybe they're saying Cincinnati is better than Illinois State.
I don't know. It's saying the Missouri Valley doesn't have a lot of high profile teams.
Look out for Loyola of Chicago. They are a sleeper team there. All right, Steve, we'll take our final break. I'm going to give you my bracket style of how I pick games. I'm not going to tell you who to pick, but I'm going to tell you what I do for my brackets as everybody gets ready, and we'll give you information about our According to Jim bracket pool and how you can be smarter than both Steve and I, which is not very hard to do. We'll take a break. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. We're running out of time a little bit today. Steve Sale, Jim Joyner. We have lots to get to today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, talking the NCAA tournament a little bit more. We'll keep you posted on what's happening with the Kansas City Chiefs and the other moves that they will be making. I think they've almost run out of space to make moves. And we will not have shows on Thursday and Friday of this week.
Oh, no.
I will be going home and sitting in front of the couch and watching basketball for 4 straight days.
Keep Tracy in line.
Yeah, well, I'll be over at the Brown Basement. The Brown Basement is the best place to watch college basketball, the NCAA tournament, anywhere in the world. Steve, before we get into tomorrow's show and talk about what we're going to be doing then, I wanted to tell you what my bracket strategy is and how I fill out my brackets, because I don't like to tell people who to pick, because the NCAA tournament is such a crapshoot.
It is.
That anybody can play well. But my
anybody can pick the 4 number 1 seeds. That's pretty easy.
Exactly.
But that never happens very often.
What my strategy is, and this has won me a few bracket pools over the last few years, is I get the brackets on Sunday night, obviously, and what I do the first time, my first reaction, I go through the bracket one time. This is not my final bracket, but I go through it, see what I think, who do I like. I fill out the bracket. Monday, sometime later in the day after I've processed a little bit more, I go back through the bracket, I do it again. It's still not my final bracket. Tuesday, do the same thing, go through it again. Wednesday, same thing, go through it again. Thursday morning, I wake up with a clear head. And at about 10 o'clock, I sit down and I do my final bracket. So that way, I know the matchups that can possibly happen. I know what teams can possibly work in. I hear all the analysis I want to hear. And then on Thursday morning, I make my final prediction. My final time I go through, and sometimes it's not my best bracket. Sometimes my Monday bracket is really good. Sometimes my Tuesday is really good. But the Thursday final bracket, I only do one. That's my final bracket that I use for everything.
Okay.
Do you have a different strategy, or do you just wing it whenever you get it?
I do it on the they are due theory. You know, they are due to have a good year in the tournament. I look at the 5-12 and 7-10 matchups because those are the ones I always say are the most unpredictable. The hardest ones to pick are the 8-9.
Yeah.
I think those are the hardest, and they should be. You know, when you got an 8-9 seed, I always pick all the number ones to win the first round because a number one's never lost.
Move.
Yeah. The number one's never lost. Number twos very seldom lose. I mean, that is also once in a blue moon, but it does happen.
Especially if you're Missouri.
Iowa State.
And you're playing Norfolk State.
Yeah, Iowa State 1 year lost to, I can't remember who they lost to, but they were a two and got beat.
Was
and
it the Santa Clara or somebody?
I can't remember. And then one time KU was a three. I think Bucknell was a 14.
I think Bradley, when they were four.
Yeah, those kind of things just don't happen very often. So you go kind of with the higher seeds really through the first two rounds. And then you go.
Bold moves.
Yeah, bold move.
Pick the ones, the twos, and the threes.
Yeah.
So for those of you at home, there's your bracket tip from Steve. Pick the ones.
No, but I will say, I haven't filled my bracket out completely yet, but I think I'll have two ones advance to the final four. I'll have a two and a four. That's kind of what mine's looking like right now.
Mine is all matchup based. I don't go in with any team. I don't think. I think Villanova's going to make it. It's all matchup
based.
Man,
Villanova, I mean, man, if talk about giving the easiest path, I think. And I think KU and Virginia have the toughest paths. I don't have KU. I think anyone around here that's watched KU all year, I don't think they're going to have KU in their Final Four. I really don't. Now, is it set up to make the Elite Eight? You bet it is.
Oh, yeah.
KU should be in pretty good. You look at that bottom part of that bracket, though, KU's in. I mean, let's face it, Duke and Michigan State, I can't see anyone standing in their way, although you got Oklahoma lurking down there. Trae Young, maybe Trae Young could get 50 or so. But it just flabbergasted me how all the experts have Michigan State. Almost every single expert, alleged expert on all the talk shows, ESPN and everything, Michigan State. I think you got to remember about Duke. You can't forget Duke. And you can't forget North Carolina. You got the Blue Bloods do pretty well in these tournaments. And even Kentucky, for all their faults, is playing the best basketball they've played all year. And they're as hot as anybody in the country right now.
We will wrap things up for today. Tomorrow we talk almost exclusively NCAA tournament. Hopefully we have some other news to discuss with any high school teams and maybe some All-State, All-Class things coming out, maybe Gatorade Player of the Year things coming out. We'll keep you posted on anything that will break tomorrow.
And on the website today, midkansasonline.com, you know, I reviewed the boys or the girls season yesterday. I reviewed the boys championship game at midkansasonline.com. And again, thanks to everybody. We had more hits by far in the history of our website. I mean, our website literally blew up. Last week, it blew the top off.
Oh, yeah.
And our numbers, they were uncontrolled. They were out of control. They just went crazy.
Speaking of midkansasonline.com, go on there, sign up for our According to Jim Bracket Challenge. There's a link. There's a story where you can go to
ESPN. Might
want to
put that up again.
Oh, I put it up again.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
Yeah, just keep putting that up because we already know Treg Falls guaranteed he's going to win. So.
My mom signed up too. Her username is Jim's mom.
Okay.
So
is
find her on
like
there.
Is Stifler's mom or anything like that?
Oh, whoa. Easy there. All right. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Calabrese Heating and Cooling, Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.